Jerry Piscataway. You listen to Locks of the Week Radio. You can catch me going ham on my boys, the New York Yankees.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play!
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WC network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would look at that and be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still
play. It's unbelievable!
You have your LeBron in the filet. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench against the Haters?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring. They're
boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Good to have you with us in the fall time from Santa Monica tonight, through the courtesy of Blog Talk Radio, and to your ears via the internet and on YouTube at /user/DipCow. Good to have you with us. We're here until 11 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for joining us on this earlier time slot again. We did it last week. We're going to do it again this week for a lot of reasons. But it works out very well, and hopefully more people can tune in and listen, and it'll be a good time. So if you can see me, first of all, for those of you on YouTube, YouTube.com/user/DipCow, let me know if you can see my face on the screen. If you can, that's good. If you cannot, please let me know at DipCow as we go along. Hour number one tonight, we will do random questions with Kevin on the Cape. He's ready to go. He'll be joining us in about 3 minutes. And then in hour number two, we switch to the Kids Club football picks of the week. And a big week in those football picks. An amazing, amazing, amazing week. Great picks all the way around. And we'll tell you more about that in hour two. Hour one, again, we do our random questions on the program. It has been truly a great month of sports, and October was exciting and jam-packed, but it lends way to November, which is equally as exciting and jam-packed. And this is where the pretenders are taken out of the picture and the contenders move into center stage in college football. A similar scenario in pro football, which yields really quite a delicious finish for both leagues, so to speak, both groups of football teams. It's going to be really great. And what we saw yesterday in the college football rankings, a huge shakeup in the college football playoff top 10. As you remember, a committee of about a dozen people are compiling these rankings now. It's not just computers. And they are taking into account the strength of schedule and the overall quality of the team and the way that they played against certain teams. So it's not just statistics that are getting them to this hump. And I think this week's rankings really proved that. When you saw that Mississippi State had the Mississippi State and then Oregon winds up being your top two teams. Where'd Florida State go? They didn't lose a game, but the committee felt that Florida State just wasn't cutting it. We're looking kind of shaky against Louisville for a while. Looking kind of shaky against Notre Dame. Looking shaky. Not impressing anybody. So they dropped to 3. But they didn't lose a game. Doesn't matter. Their strength of schedule is not as good. And they're not playing at a high level right now. And then at number 4, TCU takes over the 4th spot, where many might have thought that Alabama would have had that 4th spot instead. Alabama had a big win against LSU on the road. Wasn't a dominant game, but a typically close game between the two teams. And Bama won in overtime, but it wasn't enough. TCU's overall body of work puts them at number 4. So that sets the scene for the rest of the college football season. And how long these 4 teams stay in the top 4? Nobody knows. Well, we're going to find out in a minute. But let's find out more from America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting.
To the dance. It's time for random questions. Good stuff. In the city with Kevin on the case.
Here we go. Now into our second week of November. And now joining us for the random questions, Kevin on the Cape. He's back. Welcome, Kevin. How is it going tonight?
You know, it's always good that you wait to unmute me because I sing that jingle every time out loud. And I think people would turn the podcast off if they heard me singing that.
I love your enthusiasm, buddy. That's great. So, it's getting pretty cold around here. Oh, do you have the stream on right now as I'm talking? Because I hear myself there, a little reverb. Can you hear me okay, though, otherwise?
I hear you great. I just have my regular phone call.
Oh, okay. No problem. How's it going tonight? What's the news over at Max Seafood?
Just oysters, Dave. I'm just an oyster. My brain has been broken. I've just turned my little place into an oyster farm, and an experiment I wanted to try for a long time. Multiple different kinds of oysters, different kinds of ways. Sort of been my focus the last week, and slowly but surely it's paying off.
Beautiful.
For 7 years now, you know, we have the Wellfleet oyster, which is a very famous oyster. It's why when people come out here, there's the Wellfleet Oyster Fest, blah, blah, blah. And it's a great one. But I always wanted to always had this thought of being more than that and sampling of all the different oysters on the Cape, because there are a lot of other good ones throughout the Cape. And finally got the okay from the people, worked with some of the harvesters, and now I've got 4 different kinds, and I'm offering specials if you take 3 of each or 4 of each and you try this, and I'm having tastings on the Saturdays, and so I've just gone oyster crazy.
Boy, that's really, you're really full of ideas. This is kind of innovative. You're starting your own oyster farm. That's pretty exciting. I mean, there's not a lot of places where you can expand your horizons like that. And there are a lot of people who probably don't have the kind of ambition to start a project like this. So major kudos to you getting this set up. Maybe it will...
Thank you. Yeah, no, thanks. And I used to think it was ridiculous because, you know, being so close to Wellfleet, that's all people want. That's all they want to talk about. But I just in the last few days, this idea that I've been doing now for a week, I had 3 customers in my store today. 2 of them are the top 2 growers of Wellfleet oysters. And the other one is the shellfish warden in Wellfleet. And these are the people that I was afraid of most from, a backlash point of view, saying, hey, what do you mean? You're selling other stuff? What about our... I mean, I'm still selling their stuff, but all 3 of them thought it was the greatest thing ever. They're like, this is great. People can compare. They can taste other stuff. They can... And in the grand scheme of things, which is my larger point of view, is we will sell more Wellfleet oysters. We will sell more oysters in general, and it'll get people to try different things and different things. Almost like it's not as vast as, you know, like a wine tasting, because wine, there's so many different things, you know, different countries and vintages and years and stuff. But these 3 guys who came in the last few days, sort of, those were the people I was nervous about and thinking, hey, you're turning your back on our stuff. But no, they were super thrilled. So it was like all the only kind of encouragement I needed was from those guys to say, oh, no, this is a great idea. And they loved it. They loved the display. They loved the, I had my little oyster knives sticking out of the ice and different stuff. And it was cool. So far the sales haven't reflected it because it's still new, but people are talking about it and willing to try different things. So, which is nice.
Boy, that's really great. And the fact that powerful voices give you their endorsement, that really just makes it that much better. So I salute you and good luck to your farm as it rolls along. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm I'm just excited to hear about it. If you got a photo of that, if you wouldn't mind sending a picture of that to me sometime, that would really be fun. I'd love to see more of this farm in question. So just let me know. That's
well. Our girl who does our bi-weekly sort of blog email blast is going to do that, I think, next weekend. So we'll have photos and stuff for that next. I think she's planning it. She did one last week about something I can't remember. So we're working on doing it. Yeah, I know. My short-term memory sucks. Long-term's great. But so next weekend, I think, is they're going to profile the whole store with the different oysters and stuff.
That's terrific. I want to subscribe to your newsletter. What is the email address that I can subscribe to, or how would I subscribe to this email newsletter? Punch in my email address, you know.
I believe you just go on maxseafood.com and there's a place where you enter your email address.
Okay.
If you want to receive the newsletter or the blog from the chef or that kind of stuff, but
is that...
Do I have your email address in mind?
You might. No, I got it here. I got it here. Like you said on the website, maxseafood.com. Sign up for a newsletter. So I'll put my email address in here.
It's really simple.
Yeah,
hopefully.
This is great.
Who knows?
Wow, this website's really good. It just gets right to the point. You know, there are companies and organizations that could learn from this place about how to communicate your message effectively. Of course, I speak of my employer, but you get the idea. So, okay, I got to confirm my email address. Well, that's pretty good. Actually asking you to put a name in here? Okay. First name, Goober. No, my first name is Dave. Last name is Dina. And this other stuff is irrelevant, and I don't live anywhere near you guys, so just going to have some fun with this. Great, Junkman. Really great. Best wishes. Hopefully more people will subscribe to your list and get the news out. Pretty good. I mean,
then, I'll tell you. Forget the pictures. I should send you some oysters, so you can try some different stuff.
That sounds great. I love oysters. It's a bit of an acquired taste, but I really do. I do enjoy them, and oyster bars are a definite highlight when I'm out.
Yeah, that was my question. Are you skilled at opening them, or do you usually go out to have them?
No, I go out. I'm not skilled at all in opening them. I'm pretty brutal at it, actually. I think we had a party one time, family party, where people were opening oysters there. It's a hit or miss thing.
All right, so then I won't send you any. You either need to come out here, I'll open them for you, or you just...
Oh. Well, how hard is it? Is it really hard? We talked about this before. Like, how hard is it?
It's not hard to open them, but it's hard to open them correctly.
Oh. Okay. I think if you showed it to me one time, like, I could figure it out. So I'll plan that out next time I'm out. I got to go to Massachusetts sometime anyway. Everybody spoken highly of it. I'll do that. So very good. Now, how long have you been in Mass now? It's been a long time. We're talking like 5 years at this point?
It's six years.
Wow. That's...
Yeah, I think it sounds like six. Could be seven. Oh, I think it's 7 days. I'm getting old.
Wow, 7 years. Where does the time go? Really, I mean, that's pretty wild. Do you miss your old digs in New York? Do you miss New York at all, like the New York area?
Not at all.
No? Well, let's see how much New York, Massachusetts has taken out of you. When you left, you obviously were in on everything. Now let's just see how much
that's
New York
true.
You are. Because we did a quiz last week about how New England you are. This quiz is the flip side of that. So if you're interested.
Nice work, Dave.
Yes. From the people at brainfall.com who also brought us our New England quiz. Here comes. How New York City are you? Let's find out. Okay. So we will present you the questions. And they have multiple choices. So you can always think up the answer as you hear the choices. And we'll go through each of them and figure out what percent New York you still are. So let's do it. Last week, we determined he was 60... What was that?
Yeah, 60%, right?
Mm-hmm. 60% New England. So we will compare with how much percent New York he is. It would be tremendous synergy.
Right. So I know the kids' clubs, you know, they're bettors. A lot of people that listen are bettors. So if I'm going to give anyone their betting at home, I'm going to tell you to bet the under on the 60%.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, I think that's smart. I agree with you. That's a smart idea. So let's begin. Here we go. Question one. You're walking up Broadway, and you spot a rat scurrying across the path directly in front of you. You scream, A. B, continue on very carefully, worried of a second sighting. Or C, don't give it a second thought.
C, I don't give it a second thought.
All right, so C it is. And we move on to the question number two. Question two. Webster's defines chicken and rice as, and here come the responses, the national dish of Singapore, a tasty meal available all over New York City, a good idea at 3 a.m. that you'll probably regret in the morning, or chicken with rice?
It's a great idea that you'll regret it 3 in the morning.
A good idea at 3 a.m. that you'll regret in the morning. All right, so let's go to question three.
It's sort of a VNC because it's one of those things that is available everywhere and you will regret it in the morning.
Ah.
So I don't know if that's going to hedge my bet, but I'll just still stick with the C.
Okay. C it is. So now to question three. Which set of adjectives best describes you? Is it anxious, driven, creative, open-minded? That's choice one. Is it relaxed but a little cynical, open to new experiences? That's number two. Or is it friendly, traditional, hospitable? I know what it isn't, but then let's move on. Which one do you think that is? What's it described?
I'm answering these honestly, as we've always done here. Mm-hmm. I kind of know which one I think the New York answer is, but I don't think that's my answer. My answer is B.
I think
the New York answer is A, but I'm going to say B is my answer.
B, relaxed but a little cynical. And I certainly hear the relaxation in your voice. And I like it. I think it's quite soothing. So, okay, next question. So he said relaxed but cynical. That was question three for Junkman. Question four. Does the thought of food served out of a sidewalk cart get you salivating? The choices are OMG, yes, it could be okay, or I'm sure it sucks if it's sold on the sidewalk.
Outside of the OMG part, which I've never... This is the first time in the history of the world I've said that out loud. I've never written that. Seems always kind of weird. But it does always get me salivating. So
cool,
my answer is
cool.
A, outside of the OMG nonsense.
Well, you just like they say in the driver's test, you get the one that's closest to you, or what your actual response is, will be the accurate one. So it's not exactly what you would think, but it's pretty close. So we'll go OMG, yes. Really, it's just yes. I don't know. I don't know anybody in New York City that goes OMG anything. So that's honestly.
Right.
Let's move on. OMG, yes, is his answer to the food served out of a sidewalk cart. And there are many. It's not just hot dogs. It's hot dogs and kebabs and all sorts of good things. And you'll smell it every time you're there. Mm. What are some of the best things you've had out of a sidewalk cart?
I've had tons of great things, but it's still to this day, even when I visit, which hasn't been in a long time, but I am visiting soon. Every single time I'm in there, I just have to get one of those gigantic pretzels that's just the size of my head, and it's not even very good, but it's better than any other pretzel I've ever had.
Beautiful. I've never had a pretzel there. That's silly.
Put the salt on it, and the guy looks like he hasn't slept in 3 days. It's awesome.
Gotta do that. I next time I'm out, I gotta remember that. Dinosaur barbecue and the giant pretzel with the off the cart. It's a great idea. Around Central Park, I guess. I'm just assuming.
That's probably a good thing for. I haven't even thought of it this way, but have a couple of those giant pretzels before you go out drinking. That probably soaks up a lot of the alcohol. It's probably a good move.
Ooh, smart move. See, yeah, now you're really thinking. This is really thinking. That's great advice. Thanks, Junkman. Okay, so pretzels are the thing. Let's go to question 5. In how New York City are you? Courtesy of the brainfall.com website. Okay, here's question 5. A tourist stops you on the street to ask you directions. This makes you feel A, so happy to help and engage in some small talk. Come on, you really think that's it? B, absolutely fine if they keep their questions simple and direct. Or C, irritated beyond belief.
I am irritated beyond belief.
I like it. That sounds
and
like...
I didn't used to be that way, you know, as far as full disclosure. I used to be that kind soul, but it irritates me now because I know that they're standing there with their fancy phone and all sorts of stuff that they can easily find the answer. They're just lazy. So the laziness is what irritates me out of it. Because they can just, everyone's got the phones now, and they can figure it out. They know exactly where they are. They can, you know, you are here. They can just map their way out, but they're just trying to get the easy way out. So it used to not irritate me, but it would now irritate me.
That's
plus, if they're asking me, they're an idiot, because I don't know where the hell I'm going anyway. I would be irritated, and I would follow that up with, you're asking the wrong guy. You know, I could make something up. I could, you know, send you. I would sort of, you know, send them to some crack house somewhere just for laughs.
Yeah.
Because that's what they deserve. Because they can just figure it out by touching their phone 3 times.
That's a fantastic response. All right. So next question from the How New York City Are You quiz. Number 6. Your friend's band is playing tonight in Williamsburg. You arrive at Union Square, but of course the L train isn't running. What do you do? Oh, I'm supposed to. Oh yeah, and the responses are, swear, then go upstairs and grab a taxi. B, swear, then takes the 6 to the J. C is swear, then grab a bike and head for the Brooklyn Bridge. That would be really stupid, because at night, you're probably going to get mugged at some point with doing that. But anyway, D is, what kind of friend would ask me to go to Brooklyn? All right, Junkman, your response.
My response is closer to D than any of the other ones. My response was, I already had my response before you did the answers. My response was,
honestly,
My response was, I'm so annoyed that my friend asked me to go to Brooklyn, and then when the train didn't come, I said, thank you, and I found the closest bar to drink at.
And then The answer is closest to D.
And then when he said, then that, you know, 2 days later when he said, I said, the trains weren't running. What do you want me to do?
That is almost the perfect response right there. Seriously. I think the problem with this quiz is it doesn't tell you what the answers are. It just tells you the percent. I guess they do that because they don't want you to give away the answers to other people if they take the question, take the quiz. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think that's it. I think that D is the correct answer to this. I mean that. Because if you've been in New York and you've been in Brooklyn, you realize how difficult it is to get between them, especially at night. I just think that to even attempt that is silly, unless you make a whole night out of it.
Yeah, just to hear a guy sing a song, I mean, come on, give me a little more incentive than that.
You're going to need a better band than that. I don't even know if Dylan could get you all the way over there.
Oh, I've traveled long and long places for that, but you're going to have to, I mean, that was a long time ago. I was actually had a conversation last night about that.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to say, not only is my band playing, but, you know, my super hot sister who is looking for a rebound is here tonight. You know, you're going to have to, like, mix it, you know.
Right.
Spice it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Anybody's...
And by the way, I didn't mean my sister. I meant his sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was following you the whole time, but I'm glad you clarified anyway. Okay, so that was a good question six. Question seven. It's your best friend's birthday, and you're in charge of the party. Where do you go? Well, here there are four choices. Yeah, you can only imagine, right? Best friend's birthday, and you're in charge of the party, Junkman. That's a lot of pressure. Where do you go? Your choices are A, meet Pat.
You're gonna do the choices, but I have my choice, and I guarantee you it's not on there, but go ahead.
I want to hear the choice. Okay, choice one is meatpacking. I know a promoter. What the hell is meatpacking? Do you have any clue? Do you know, what is that? Is that something? Is it what I think it is? Is it like actually packing meat?
Yeah. At some point they are. It's the meatpacking district. Usually, you know. So I believe I'm sure people know this more than I do, but in my day, I believe it. You know, that's during the day. That's where they do all the meat, you know. They process the meat, they grind all the meat. That's the place. But I believe in the recent times it's turned into like a hip kind of place at night. So they still do their, the guys are still there butchering shit all day from, you know, 4 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. But I think at night it's become sort of a hip kind of place with bars and clubs and stuff.
I see. Okay. All right, so that's the meatpacking district. Meatpacking is choice number one. Choice number two, East Village, Alphabet City, Lower East Side Pub Crawl. Choice number three, somewhere near the PATH train. That's choice number four.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know that. That's a groan-worthy response. Who would even think of the PATH train? All right.
Well, they want to go to Hoboken and hang out with Eli and all the cool guys.
I think that's... Hoboken is cool. I would agree with that. Maybe you're right about that, actually. It might be because of the Hoboken thing. That's a good point. Okay, the fourth response is, start off the night at the Times Square TGI Fridays, end up at the mixology bar you saw on the Food Network. I think these.
Oh, that is horrible.
That is ridiculous. You do want to challenge people with these quizzes. I mean, if you're just going to write a joke response for number four, there's really no point. I mean, even this West Coast broadcaster here can recognize that is absolutely no way anyone would respond with that. I mean, sometimes they do that on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that they write a fourth response which is completely a joke. And you're not supposed to pick it. It's just sort of for comic relief. And some dopes have...
Right, yeah, that's true. They used to do that all the time.
Yeah. I remember that very well. Especially in the beginning, like, you know, the $10, the $100 question, and the $300, whatever it is, the $500. It's like, yeah. It's like, come on, let's move on with it, you know. And some people miss the first question, which is outrageous. But anyway...
You know, what's the most famous, what's the most popular household pet? A cat, a dog, a rabbit, or a dinosaur?
I know, exactly. It's just...
It would just be ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Totally played out.
So my answer to that, if I had to pick of those choices, it would be B.
Okay.
In the East Village. I think that would be the most fun. But if my friend asked me to take him out for his birthday, I'm going straight to Belmont Park, and we're betting on horses and drinking cheap beer, because I'm not taking them out to TGI Fridays or whatever the hell you said in Central Park and spending or Times Square, whatever, Times Square, and spending $500 hanging out with the tourists.
Yeah, that is quite honestly the worst.
My official answer is B, but if I was going to plan a birthday party with a bunch of guys, I'm going to the track.
Oh, okay. And especially, you know your best friend. And that's something that I'm sure he would enjoy the most. So, very well said. East Village, Alphabet City, Lower East Side. Junkman's response. And when you really think about it, East or West Village seems to be the place where you can do a lot of nightlife. That's just from my limited experience being in New York. I'm pretty sure that many feel the same way. So that was question 7. Now, question number 8. Why are you not at a Shake Shack right now? All right. And the responses are A, I am actually. B, I don't feel like waiting online for an hour. C, I only eat vegan yucca fries. And D, actually, actually, I prefer In-N-Out. That's my response, bud. But what's wow. your take?
It'd probably be B, but you're gonna wait anywhere. But I'm gonna go with you on this one. My official answer is gonna be D. I'd rather do the In-N-Out burger.
Have you had In-N-Out before? Like, have you? Because the closest one would have been Vegas. When you were in Vegas, they had In-N-Out, I think. It's been around a while.
Oh, I have. It just has been 15 years, probably.
Oh, okay. I mean, it hasn't changed. It's exactly the same as it was 15 years ago. That's the beauty of it. It hasn't changed at all. I mean, 30 years ago, it was the same. 50 years ago, it was the same. Yeah, that's the only restaurant I know that's been like that, where it's exactly the same all these years later. So,
well, that is ultimate anti-Shake Shack answer, which is what I was going for.
Cool. I think it's the right answer. All right. Okay. Oh, wow. They're throwing symbols at me at this one. Question 9. How New York City are you, quiz? From brainfall.com. And Kevin on the Cape with the responses. Here we go. Question 9 is, pop quiz. How should I get from Brooklyn Bridge City Hall to Grand Central Terminal? Ooh, good question. Now, the thing is, you have to take only one line. So let's go through the choices. Do you take, so these are all subway lines. Do you take the 1, the F, the 4, the Q, or the L? I think I know this.
Can I get into a cab and ask him to take me there? That's exactly what I would do.
That's an expensive cab, though. You're talking about like 5 miles, aren't you?
Probably.
Now, bear in mind, you're not in Brooklyn. I think you're at City Hall. So you're on the other end of the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan end of it. So what do you get from that to Grand Central?
I get no cab, and I ask him to take me there.
All right. Well, I will co-opt a response since I think I have a beat on this. Okay. So the lines you have that you can choose from.
You can pick anyone for my answer, because if there is something that I don't know about, it's the subway line.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've always been either take the Metro North in to Grand Central and take a cab to where I got to go, or I drive in. I've probably spent, in the grand scheme, I probably spent an hour in my life on a subway.
Wow.
I don't know where they go. I can't figure it out. I completely admit to all that. I've never wanted to take time to figure it out. I would just take the train to Grand Central and get a cab. Or if I was going out, you know, when I lived outside in Westchester, I would drive to wherever my friends told me the bar was. I'd find the street, and I'd find a parking garage, and I'd park there.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, especially when you're coming from outside of town and you're in the area, that's probably the way to go. So I don't like cabs, though. That's why I do subways. I'm very anti-cab. But in your case, it makes sense because you're there just that one time. You're not going to use it frequently. So why bother with a subway when you can get there more directly, especially at night? Perfect reason.
Or I walk.
And walking
or I walk. I don't mind walking.
And it's not even that far of a walk. I mean, wherever you go, you're only going maybe a mile from where. Yeah,
yeah.
About a mile, because Grand Central's like right in the middle. So at the most, you'd be doing a mile. So cool. Okay. Well, we'll go through these quickly. I'll just break this down because I am a little more familiar with the subway in this case. The one takes you to the Upper West Side. That does you no good. That would actually take you to Times Square. The F would take you to... It might take you to Brooklyn, as far as I know. The L, I have no idea. The Q takes you to Queens. The 4 is what you want. The 4 is one of the east side running trains. It goes straight up the east side, lower east, upper east, and then into the Bronx. So the 4's train is your boy. It is your beat. That's how you'll get from Brooklyn Bridge to Grand Central. When you're down there, I mean, you can take any train you want because you're basically at the bottom of Manhattan. So you can go anywhere. You can take any train you want. You'd only have to walk about a couple blocks to choose any line. So the 4. Okay, here we go. Question 10, and this is our final question. New York City is... So think that out in your head. I will give you now the responses. New York City is A, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. B, a place where anything is possible. C, the center of the universe. Or D, the greatest city in the world. All right. How would you play that, Junkman?
What was the first one?
A concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
That's my answer.
Well, you would be quoting the, what was it? That song that Jay-Z and Alicia Keys did. So, good stuff. All right. Let's get your result. Here we go. Empire State of Mind. Yeah, that's right, Coach. Reminded me. Empire State of Mind. That's it. You are 76% New York City. 76%.
No way.
That's a great number. That is a great number.
Holy cow.
Way to go.
That is very exciting.
Well, they, you know, they can take you out of New York, but they can't take the New York out of you. Am I right?
That way, apparently.
Yeah, good stuff.
Wow.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed to be that far detached, that long detached from your homeland, and still get 76%. I mean, that's really as good as it gets. How do you feel?
Wow, I'm starting to feel a little nostalgic, Dave.
I love it. Congratulations,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, I'm actually going back in a couple weeks. So
hey,
maybe,
all right.
It's all sort of coming together.
Cool. Way to go, man. Yeah, now you'll take your reaffirmed knowledge of New York City and have a good
I'm going to be the guy who's asking directions on the street, and they're going to all be yelling at me.
Well, use your phone. Use your phone. Like you said, you have your smartphone. Do you have? Are you still on the other phone?
The only difference between my answer and reality is I don't have a smartphone.
Ah, right. You do not have a smartphone. I got you. Okay. Very good. But, you know, I mean, experience plays a good part in it. I hope you can get after that pretzel. That just sounds great. I kind of want to just get a pretzel now. I don't know. I'm in California. That's not going to happen, but... That'd be fun to go after a pretzel. You know, and I forget, pretzels are much like bagels, am I right? Like, when you're in New York, I'm sure they're way better. I can't even imagine. Many have spoken of its praises. Let me ask you this. You do a pretzel, you put butter on it, right? Some people dip it in cheese.
No.
Well, you know, because you butter it. It's like you don't add butter to it, but it's like you paint it with butter. You baste it with butter as you cook it. Most people dip it in mustard. Do you dip your pretzel in anything?
No.
No? Just eat it by itself?
Mustard?
Some people do.
Yeah. Well, those people are crazy.
All right.
Mustard? Mustard goes on a hot dog. It doesn't go on a pretzel.
I've had it both ways.
What is happening in the world?
It's been that way for a while, though, as far as I know. I mean, granted, I think most people don't do that, but it can be done, and I've seen it a couple times, so... I hear you. Sometimes it's just good to enjoy on its own. I mean, it's already pretty tasty as it stands, so that's key. How much is a pretzel like that? Like, do you remember how much you paid for it? It's probably changed.
Oh man, I'm sure it's changed. I was gonna say like $3.50.
Okay,
it's probably over $5 by now.
Yeah, I think so. I think you'd be right about $4.50, about that much. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Cool. All right. Well, something to keep track of as I return to New York City. Boy, that was a great quiz. You know why? Because it took up like 40 minutes of our show. That's fantastic. All right. We got to do more of these quizzes. You know, we should do an L.A. version of this, but we don't have time. If we did, though, you want to try it? You want to just squeeze it in?
I would have to. I would ask that. So you just give me the link. I'd ask the questions. You can't look it up, though. You can't.
Oh, it's a good idea. That's a good idea. Do you have your iPad on you?
I have an iPad, so I could, you know, put in the answers, and then we could find out, you know, that kind of thing. We could do that next week.
Oh, next week? Okay. I'll send you the link. That's a great follow-up. You'll do, how L.A. or am I? And you can ask me the questions.
We can't do it tonight. You just said we took up 40 minutes, so we can't do it now.
Yeah, we can't do it now. You're right. It's going to take too long. It is going to take too long if we do it now.
But you can send me the link, and I can look it up, and I can have my iPad with me the next time.
That's great. That's fantastic. I'll PM that to you as quickly as I can. That is good. And I got the quiz now. I will get that to you immediately. So, thanks. Wow. Good thinking.
Great. Yeah, we can do that next week. We can do, we can have Andy guests. We can do How Seattle Are You?
That's good.
Starbucks.
That's good. That's really good. You know? And get John can Connecticut on, or even Yachts, and say, How Connecticut Are You?
How Connecticut Are You? Are you are you wearing khakis and a polo?
Get that clown Tom in New Jersey on. We'll do How New Jersey Are You?
How long did it take you to decide whether to drive the BMW or the Mercedes to work? How Connecticut Are You?
I think Yachts can certainly relate to that. Oh, you're right. You're right. I had a friend in from Connecticut. You visited my friend Coach and I. We were he stayed with us for about a week, and I was talking to him about Connecticut. And yeah, it's incredibly ritzy. You've said it to me. Everyone's talked to me about it. And Connecticut's definitely a, you know, very opulent part of the country. Maybe it doesn't look it, but it's definitely gorgeous. So certainly in the most ritzy areas, it shows. It really shows.
Yeah. It would be like question number three. Are you angry that you're not included in New England, even though you are? We don't count you as part of that.
Now, what do you think of that? Do you think Connecticut should be considered as part of New England, or is it just too close to New York?
No, it's part of it. Yeah, I always considered it the metropolitan area. But I'm sure Eastern Connecticut's different and stuff because it's so close to Massachusetts and Rhode Island. But where I grew up, Connecticut was part of us. I always thought it was an extension of New York, not New England at all.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I mean, I feel the same about New Jersey. It's sort of like New Jersey's kind of divided. Like half of it's part of New York and half of it's part of Philadelphia. But Connecticut seems more like a New York-y area than a Boston area, even though it's technically close to both. I mean, first thing I think of Connecticut is like, oh yeah, you take it to get from here to, it's your connector to New York City. And I don't think of it as much as a connector to Boston, do you?
No, not at all. And I know more like Yankees and Giants fans in Connecticut than, you know, Red Sox, Patriots fans in Connecticut.
Yeah, great point.
I'm sure there's a dividing line. You know, I'm sure Hartford is sort of the middle, so it's like a dividing line. But
that is what they say. Like, if you're by Hartford, in fact, it's so much so that people who live in Hartford get both the Yankee network and the Red Sox network at the same time. That's quite interesting, so you can watch both teams' games at the same, without having to pay for it. I mean, that's, well, I mean, other than basic cable, but that would that be a scene or what? Being able to watch both teams, like in the Mets too, you can watch the Mets as well. So if you were living in the middle of Connecticut, you could watch three teams during the baseball season.
Oh, I'm sure they're so grateful for that the last 6 years.
That's a fair point. Well, I mean, you got the Red Sox part. Red Sox working okay. The Red Sox got the job done.
Well, that's every other year, though.
Yeah.
You weren't watching this year.
Oh, no, this year is brutal. This year is brutal. But I wonder if the Red Sox have the similar construct to the Giants, where it's like every even year they win the World Series. Is the Red Sox like every odd year we're a good team?
Well, that's been the trend, but I don't know if this is any indication, but they're calling me to pitch this year, so that's kind of a bad sign.
Oh, that's not good. They really hit the bottom of the barrel calling the junk man to pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I know you got a mean cutter, but
well, the knuckleball right now is pretty sweet. So
ooh.
I can, yeah.
Oh, they can't hit that.
It's about 45 miles an hour, yeah.
Hey, you know, Tim Wakefield could learn some tips from you. Oh, he's retired, is he? Well, I thought he was.
Yeah, he's retired.
I mean, it's been long enough. I mean, he pitched well into his 60s. What was it?
Oh, I think he was like 94.
94, huh? Yeah, I gotta give him credit for that. You know, he'll reap some serious retirement payments after the fact. Nicely done.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. All right, Kev. So... By the way, postseason awards for baseball announced today. Clayton Kershaw,
nice.
Not surprising, Clayton Kershaw gets the Cy Young Award. That surprised nobody. 1.7 ERA, won 20-plus games. And the guy was, I mean, I know he sucked in the playoffs, but he was as good a pitcher as there was in the regular season.
Well, yeah, these aren't postseason. The postseason doesn't count.
Right, exactly right. Doesn't count. But then, you know, that's the National League. But then you go to the American League, and it's a mess. Could you even imagine? Take a guess as to who you thought won the AL Cy Young Award this year.
The AL Cy Young Award was East Head. The I'm gonna say Scherzer.
Wasn't Scherzer.
Or he was not. He didn't win.
He did not win.
It's not a reliever, so maybe the Felix Hernandez.
That's a great answer. And you know what? If you ask me, that was the winner. But he didn't win. He did not win. And I'm going to, before I reveal the winner, I'm going to tell you what the people who voted on this thing voted against. Let's get Felix Hernandez's numbers up. Because, seriously, this guy is as dominant a pitcher as there is, and he plays in the American League. So let's get his stats from
he plays on a crappy team.
Yes, he does. He does.
The team is horrible.
It's pathetic. And he puts up great numbers every season. Every season. So, here, more of the same this year. He had a 2.14 ERA. He had a whip of .915. Not 1.1. 0.915. And, if that wasn't enough, he had 248 strikeouts against 46 walks.
Holy crap.
I mean, come on. Why would he not be the AL Cy Young Award winner?
It was Tanaka, wasn't it?
It was not Tanaka. Because he didn't pitch the whole season
anyway.
East Coast
bias. East Coast bias.
It isn't even that. Yours is going to blow your mind. Okay. All right. So the winner... I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to reveal this. Because I can't... I mean, the whole year, I never even heard the name. That's how bad this is.
I don't even know. This is quite a build-up, because I can't even imagine who...
Who could it be, right?
Not David Price. He sucked in behind two teams.
All right, get hold on to your hat. The winner of the 2014...
Was it a reliever? It's probably a reliever that I don't know, right? The guy who had like 50 saves?
You're not going to believe it. It was not a reliever. The winner of the 2014 Cy Young Award this year in the American League, the Cleveland Indians' Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber, or Clubber. With a whopping 2.44 ERA, which was more than Hernandez. With a whip of 1.095, which is more than Hernandez. With 269 strikeouts, which is actually more than Hernandez, but that's not good. That means he had more of them than him. But he also had 51 walks. Look, these are good numbers, but would you ever have thought... The whole season you were watching Yankee games, Red Sox games, Orioles games, Rays games, anybody in the American League. Did you ever at any time see Corey Kluber and think, man, that guy is pretty good? Did you ever think that?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I didn't even know who it was either. That's why this thing stinks. It's just like, who? I didn't even know the name Corey Kluber. And with all apologies to Indians fans everywhere.
Isn't that the guy who was like the kicker on the Vikings who got shot because he liked gay people?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even. I literally did not know the name. It's like, who?
I think that's Corey Cluey. I think I got it wrong, but it sounds similar.
Yeah, it's just dumb. I'm just like. Why would he get more? Because he had 18 wins. And I really think that's the only reason. He had 18 wins. A stupid stat like that. And that's the reason that he gets the Cy Young Award. Because of 18 freaking wins. Who cares? The
Which is more of a... I guess that's more of a... indictment on who votes for those awards.
Oh, it is.
Because younger people like yourself and... people who are sort of open-minded to more advanced statistics value wins less. But these old guys like Bill Madden and sort of just a, you know, whoever. I don't know who vote. Are these the same guys who vote for the Hall of Fame? Is the Baseball Writers Association kind of thing?
As far as I know, I think they have a hand in it, yeah. Baseball writers.
Peter Gammons. Like Peter Gammons and all those guys, and they still think that wins is the most important thing.
So I
think it's going to take another decade probably until younger people like yourself, and I'm just thinking people who are more in tune to the advanced kind of statistics that are more relevant now for people to put a lot, because there's still a less. We all know that wins are a product of the team, not so much the individual. But these old guys, that's all they look at sometimes.
It is unbelievably stupid. I mean, wins have very little to do with the actual pitcher. As a matter of fact, you could argue that someone who had lost 20 games, is actually a really good pitcher. If somebody loses 20 games, that means that they were so good that they were in all those games. So in a way, that's actually a good thing. It's kind of weird, right? But the point is, wins as a pitching stat doesn't really tell you much about the actual pitcher. It tells you about what the rest of the team was doing around it. Because you could pitch.
Right. It's sort of like the runs batted in with the hitters, you know.
Right.
Have people you got to get on base and that kind of stuff. So it's one of those stats where wins and I look at wins and runs batted in is the stat of the old guard, not the new one. So I don't think there's enough new writers on there that are voting for something like that to happen. yet, but it will soon.
Yeah, I think we're due for that as well. I completely agree with you there. It's just crazy, you know? Now, just one final thing, just to take that point home about advanced stats. ERA plus for Corey Kluber, or Kluber. Let me see. Is it Kluber? Oh, it is Kluber. It's C-L-U-E-B-R. Kluber. Okay. Well, ERA plus for Corey Kluber. Because, you know, in batting, if you have an – it's, like, based on 100. So it's like a quarterback rating. So if you have about 100, you're average. Like, you're good. You're pretty good. Similar for pitching. If you're 100, you're a good pitcher. Less than that, you're less good. You're mediocre. You're bad. ERA plus for Corey Kluber, 152. ERA plus for Felix Hernandez, 170. It wasn't good enough to win the AL Cy Young Award. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man.
No, I'll just tell you that that's what it is. It's still a bunch of the old guys are still voting.
Yeah.
Peter Gammons and all these guys. Look at 18. Felix Hernandez had how many wins? 14, 13?
Yeah, Hernandez had 15 wins. And
15, all right. Well, that's actually, you know, on that crappy team, I mean, that's
pretty good.
It's terrific.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. That's just one that is not going to be explained for a while. So, or I mean, it's going to be explained, but I'm not going to like it. It's dumb. It's really dumb. So what the message is here is that you could be pitching a little bit less well and get 20 wins, and that means more. Why would that mean more? It has nothing to just enough. I'm done. I'm not talking about that anymore. So yeah, that's your answer. Corey Kluber wins the Cy Young Award. He will be quickly forgotten. He's the first Cy Young Award winner for the Cleveland Indians since Cliff Lee. And at the time, I thought Cliff Lee, man, he was okay. I didn't think he was that good. But then it turned out that Cliff Lee was actually a pretty good pitcher. But at that time, I don't think it was really that much of an objection. I'd have to go back to my old podcast to find out, but I remember he won the Cy Young Award, and I thought, all right, good deal. And then he wound up being a great pitcher. I don't know if I'm going to say that about Corey Kluber, but I'll say this. When Cliff Lee won his award, he was 28. Kluber, this year, 28. But still, I mean, you want to know what his previous 3 years were before this one? 5 ERA, 3.85, and 2.44. And I mean, that doesn't mean necessarily that he didn't have a good year, but I'm just saying that, is he really that good overall? I don't know. It's just like, for me, it's a guy that's going to be quickly forgotten.
Even their number one starter, Dave?
That is a good question. That is a great question. Is he even their number one starter? That's a good question. Let's look.
The only reason why I think that would be relevant is that he's not facing other teams' number one starters, so his wins, are a little less valuable.
Right.
Where Hernandez is always going up against the other team's ace.
All the time. One-on-one. Number one versus number one. Absolutely. Well, to be honest with you, I don't think there is a number one starter on this team. I would say that Kluber is far and away the leader in innings pitched for the Cleveland Indians at 235.2 innings pitched. And nobody else is close. It's like 153 for Trevor Bauer, 4 ERA, 110 for Danny Salazar, 4.25 ERA. TJ House, which has an asterisk next to it, had won 102 innings. Why is there an asterisk next to that? Oh, he's a lefty. Okay. And then Justin Masterson. Masterson, I believe, was like, if not their big guy, one of their big guys going into the season. So when the year started... I think he was, right?
Definitely.
Right? I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, if he wasn't even the ace of the team going into the season, I mean, like you said, like, is he always facing the best, is he always going up against the best starter in these individual matchups? I don't know. I mean, the opposing team's best starter. It's a different ball game, don't you think?
Totally.
Yeah. Well, that's a fail for the powers that be that made that voted these awards. It's really too bad. All right, so that sour note ends our first hour. Sorry that we had it ended like in that weird note. But next week on Random Questions, join us as Junkman asks me, "How LA am I?" Get ready.
Absolutely.
Should be fun.
Look forward to it.
All right, man. Well,
absolutely.
Have it in that case. For the moment, have a great rest of your week. Cheers to your oyster farm, and hope for a great time in the weekend. Have a good one, buddy. It's really great to catch up with you again. Take care, and we'll do it again next week.
You too, brother. Have fun with the kids club.
Thanks so much, man. All right, Junkman.
All right.
All right, buddy. That's Kevin on the Cape with the random questions, and we send our way into hour number two. Good stuff we've had so far. It's a good time. I'm looking forward to covering college football. We are in hour number two, and we are ready to start a pretty exciting Kids Club feature. Week number 11 in the Kids Club podcast picks. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, a big shakeup in the top 10 of college football. Mississippi State's number one, but number two is Oregon. Nuts! Florida State falls to number three despite not losing a game all season. But I think the committee was saying, you know what? We're not impressed by you despite you winning the games. And you know what? Look at Oregon right now. I think they made the right call. I think that's a good call. Number four could have been Alabama, could have been TCU, and the committee chose TCU. Alabama had some pretty good wins lately. A nice win against LSU in overtime at the swamp but Death Valley. I think Joey Galloway called it Happy Valley on the broadcast. Happy Valley. Oh man, that show was great. Last night I was watching the college football playoff selection show. Had the day off, so I got to see this thing in real time at 4:30 in the afternoon here on the West Coast. Really a lot of fun. Everybody talking about the picks is really good. And we're going to do the same thing. So we'll bring up the Kids Club to talk about the rankings and do the picks and talk about the key matchups of the weekend. So let's first run down where we are in Kids Club picks. Three guys of the Kids Club went 4-0 last weekend. Amazing. Say Hello to Otis went 4-0. Andy in Seattle went 4-0. John in Connecticut went 4-0. That's amazing, because last week we had our first 4-0 week altogether when Ron went 4-0. And it really set the tone. Jerron still has the lead. He went 2-2, but everybody else moved way closer to him. And so we now have these standings after 11 weeks. Ron stays in first place, as I mentioned, barely by a thread. 21-18-1. Otis is second, 19-20-1. In third place is Andy in Seattle. And if you remember how he started this year, this is amazing. This is pretty tremendous. He's 19-20-1 as well. And in fourth place, right there to pounce, John in Connecticut at 19-21. So here we go. Ready to go. Week 11 of the Kids Club picks. So let's introduce everybody one by one. We will start with the man who was first to 4-0 this week. That would be Say Hello to Otis. Oh, man, welcome to the show. Great to have you back. Hopefully no reverb. How's it going tonight?
It's going good. Going good, Dave. Although I just heard your breakdown of the AL Cy Young winner, and I saw... our pal Ari had a question. He wanted to know, where do you live, motherfucker? Because he couldn't believe that you didn't know who Corey Kluber was. What the hell were you doing?
I'm not really an AL guy. I mean, I guess I gotta be honest. Did you know who Corey Kluber was?
Yeah, he was a dominant pitcher this year. All-star game, the whole bit.
All right. I'll take that. All right. Well, welcome to the show. Let's also introduce to the program the man in sec who also had a pretty good 4-0 week and a guy on a roll, Andy in Seattle. Andy, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
Good. No need to mention anything about momentum or roll because we know how bad it's been. We know how bad it can get. We just appreciate that we've been able to be on the right side of the ledger from time to time. You know, what's funny, Otis already gave you the gentle tweak about Kluba, because Mike always says Kluba, and the board always picks up on that. But it is weird how this college pigskin season and NFL has just been so hard. In all those weekly pick'em contests that we've all been known to partake year to year, I mean, last year the winner was probably over like 20 to 25 games over 500, and this year I think the leader is like barely scraping above 500. So it's not just our little group. I think everybody's struggling to beat the books here and there.
You're absolutely right. It's been very unpredictable, and I don't think anyone's really had a leg up on anyone except Mike Francesa. Andy, he's had a pretty good year this year in the pro picks. Pretty remarkable.
That's true. And all the haters, he's changing his pick. He's changing his line. He's changing it up. He didn't mention he's counting that as a win. I haven't heard any of those lately.
No, you haven't. I've been keeping track of it, too. I've been writing him down. And, it's pretty I mean, he did leave out one game, but, like, where he didn't – you know how like he had a push, but he didn't use it? In his record. But other than that, it's been pretty close to what he announces on the show. So he's doing great. There's no everything. All props to him. He's been great. But overall, as you said, it's been tough sledding for everybody picking games. And I think our next guest, John in Connecticut, is no exception to that. It's just been that kind of year. I mean, John, welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight? And what's new?
Okay. Andy, Otis, thanks for having me back on. We're doing pretty good. We're watching some action here. Open Bowling Green to get the bats going here in the second half. Looking forward to the week. So let's start talking about some of the college football, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about. And by the way, congrats to you also for going 4-0. Really a momentous occasion. It's really cool to see everybody go ham like that. Everybody rising. I mean, you know, everybody's picks doing well. That's pretty good. So as we start our program tonight, I really want to talk about the college football top 10. And I think you made a very bold point, but one that makes a lot of sense. And you had noted on Twitter that you could see TCU and Baylor, both of the Big 12, making the four-team college football playoffs. So let's hear a little more about your thoughts about both teams as we go into the stretch run.
Yeah, Dave. I mean, I think it's, when you look at their schedules, TCU has to play Kansas, Texas, and Iowa State. And that game at Texas should be a little tricky on Thanksgiving night, and Texas may need that game to get to a bowl. So they'll have some motivation for that one. And their defense is pretty good. Blessed be dicey, but you figure they'd win. Baylor has Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and Kansas State all at home, so they're going to sweep those games. And I just think if they both win impressively and they both finish 11-1, I think Mississippi State's going to lose two games. I think they're going to lose to Alabama Saturday. I think they're going to lose to Ole Miss at the end of the season, so that would knock them out. So all you would need at this point is a Florida State loss. And I think that very well could happen this Saturday at Miami. The line's only -3. Their defense has not been good at all. And Miami's been pretty impressive the last couple weeks. I bet North Carolina against them a couple weeks ago, and they just destroyed them. Their offense is clicking right now. And I don't think the committee would go to Ohio State in the Big Ten. I think they would take two Big 12 teams. So I think this could end up something like Alabama number one, Oregon number two, TCU number three, and Baylor number four. And we could quite possibly see a rematch of that TCU-Baylor game in the national championship, which could be pretty exciting, actually. So I'm kind of hoping for this scenario to play out.
That'd be really something, and it would, instead of having two SEC teams in there, two Big 12 teams, that's something I don't think many people expected when the year began, and I got to give a lot of props to both teams right now. Baylor for bouncing back after that. I mean, bouncing back. Well, yeah, they did lose to... Did they lose to West Virginia? I'm trying to remember. I think it was West Virginia.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good deal. This is exciting, absolutely. This playoff has done everything we had hoped. It's really opened up the field. Things are great. So let's go to Andy in Seattle for your thoughts about the college football playoff top four and the rest of the top ten, too. There's a situation where both Oregon and Arizona State, if they went out, because they play each other in the championship game most likely, they will make the playoff. Pretty simple. But I'm interested to hear your take about Bama and TCU and that standing in the fourth spot. Do you think that Bama will eventually play their way into the playoff?
Yeah, I'm going to ramble here. I'm going to kind of take off what Checker alluded to. Checker's blueprint is really cool. It'd be fun to see that happen. Because if Baylor and TCU do what John thinks they're going to do, only one of them will go to that Big 12 game, correct?
There's no Big 12 championship game.
There's no Big 12 championship game? Oh, someone didn't do the homework. Okay. Well, that's still cool. Good for them. That couldn't hurt them anyway. So both of them would only have one loss. Although I'm a little down on Baylor. I think their coach gets a little too arrogant. He kind of reminds me of an old version of Matthew McConaughey if McConaughey was in his 50s. Like, in those sideline interviews at halftime, it's like, dude, you just gave up 31 points. Like, what are you going to – we'll be all right. Our team's great. I got faith. We'll do what we got to do to do what we got to do. It's like, yo, bro, like, you know, your team gets lit up a lot. And I know Perry and all those receivers are really good, but, you know, there's going to be a game, and we already did kind of see it in bits and phases earlier in the year where, you know, the offense just – it's not super crispy, and they just give up far too many points. But they are really fun to watch when all cylinders are clicking. And TCU, it's amazing what the coach basically used to be known as just a defense first kind of guy. He actually ran like a hurry up defense, if that makes sense. But if you Google hurry up defense TCU, you'll see a lot of things about it. And he's just been able to kind of evolve offensively, maybe because I don't know if that has something to do with the conference going to, you know, how they went to the Big 12 and they're known for all offense, offense, offense. So you got to, you know, assimilate to the different culture. And they've been able to just put up a bunch of points. So that'd be kind of fun if those two schools were to do it. Now, about Alabama and Oregon and Arizona State, you know, it feels like for the past 4 years, I'm like, Alabama and Oregon, Alabama and Oregon. How cool of a game would Alabama and Oregon be? Alabama, Oregon. But Alabama this year, as we've all known, hasn't quite been, you know, quote unquote, vintage Alabama, but the way things are shaping up, they could still be there. In Oregon, as we talked about last week, you know, they had that rough stretch in the beginning of the year where they didn't look very good and their offensive line looked like poo and a lot of plays were just getting snuffed right away. But they've been able to put on a great show for the past month. So, you know, when they play in that Pac-12 championship game against Arizona State, I think, you know, you got to give a big advantage to Oregon in that game. We see Arizona State play well, but their defense is just has a lot to be desired. You know, kind of like I think their defense is even more of a weakness for them as FSU has their weakness with their defense. I think Oregon State, their defense is a little subpar compared to FSU. So I think Oregon will basically have their way with Arizona State in that game. And as John mentioned, that FSU-Miami game, in the beginning of the year, Miami was not supposed to do well. I still am not a big fan of their program. I don't even know who their quarterback is. I know that was one of their biggest question marks going into the season, like who's going to play their quarterback position. But they've been able to do basically – exceed expectations, and that line is just so weird. I don't know. I almost want to take FSU, and that makes it a trap, I think, because I just do not see Miami being able to to beat them offensively. But John said that FSU's defense is bad, and, you know, maybe they do get out in front early and they won't have to channel their inner Petrino in Louisville and they won't get tight. But, you know, we'll have to pay attention to that in about 48 hours.
That could be a really fun game. So I'm going to keep an ear on it to see if anyone picks it in our Kids Club picks. Florida State, Miami. I mean, just like the old days, those two teams really was something to play for. And Miami, it's really the role of spoiler. So it'll be a fun one. But I feel like I might be getting my hopes up in that one, too. Like, I mean, I think Florida State, who knows. I mean, it would be fun if they lost, though, honestly. Florida State loses that game. Oh, that would just be fun. But anyway, let's go to a man who is not quite as down on Florida State as perhaps others are, as far as I know. Say hello to Otis. Let's get your thoughts about the college football playoff top 10. Your observations?
Yeah, I was just going to say just quickly about that Florida State-Miami game. Actually, on Fan today, Joe and Evan had Michael Irvin on. They have a weekly spot with him, and he was talking a little bit about Miami, how their quarterback's actually a true freshman. And I just pulled up his numbers. He's having a pretty – I mean, for a true freshman to come in, he's having a pretty solid year. Looks like he's got only nine INTs, 20 touchdowns. So, although that is going to be a very tough spot for a true freshman quarterback to come in against the number one team in the country that – or, I guess, not the number one team in the country, but a team that hasn't lost in 2 years with the Heisman Trophy winner. So just a little bit on that game. I haven't been as down on Florida State as some other people have been, but it's gotten continuously tougher and tougher, but just the way week in, week out, they don't show up for a half, and then all of a sudden, here they come all the way back to, you know, squeak out a win, whether it's the Louisville game, the Notre Dame game, time and time again, they're just waiting to be picked off. I was happy to see that they dropped at least a little bit in the playoff ranking. I mean, you can't really drop them much further undefeated, but I thought that was a good thing to see from the committee there. The other John covered it, and Andy echoed just all those scenarios. I can't look out further into a crystal ball as well as John can with knowing the ins and outs of the team schedules there, but he did a great job kind of giving you a little bit of the rundown. One thing I'm just shocked about is the way Ohio State has played since that loss. I wrote them off right after that game and have just been completely, like, just stunned at the way that they've come out and play. Their win last week against Michigan State was not something that I saw coming. I know somebody had Michigan State last week. I don't remember if it was Ron or it must have been if the three of us went 4-0 somehow.
It was Ron.
So,
Michigan State. Yeah.
That was kind of a shocker to me that Ohio State would be able to do that to Michigan State there. So that team is a shocking 8-1 to me, and they're climbing. I don't know if they'll get all the way up into the top four there, but that was one of the surprises in the top 10 for me.
That was a big surprise, and I'll bring up another surprise, but first I want to ask you this quickly. Do you think JT Barrett is a legitimate Heisman Trophy?
You got some... Dave, I'm getting a lot of reverb. I don't know if I'm the only one.
It's your phone clicking. Oatman, would you be able to call us back? Because I noticed your phone has started clicking when you started talking there. And it popped... Would you be able to just quickly call back and then see? We'll see if that helps things along, maybe.
I think you said to call back.
Could you call back real quick?
That's what you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
All right, well, I'll call back out of this.
All right. We'll have Oatman call us back. You may have noticed if you were listening to the show that his phone was clicking a little. Well, everybody's going to call back. Okay, well, then we will wait. It's not actually a bad idea, having everybody call back. Maybe it'll be better. We're doing okay without the reverb, and then just all of a sudden at 20 after, boom. Just, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of running out of ideas with that whole reverb thing. We have Andy back on the line now joining us. And when I get Oatman back, I want to ask him if he thinks JT Barrett is a legitimate...
Oh, fuck.
Hi, Andy. Are you watching the hockey game as I am? Hello?
You got reverb.
We still have reverb? Ugh.
You still got reverb,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a sec. We'll get that worked out. I'll get you on hold for a sec. I am going to call back, so I'm going to keep all you guys on hold. And we will return to Dave in the City after these messages and a word from your local station. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio, 720. Back at it here in the city, Locks of the Week Radio, and now we're going to try to get everybody back. Let's see if everyone's back in online. Let's get Oatman first. Let's see if we have this thing rolling. And let's see, one sec. Okay. See if that's working out. Okay, and... okay. Okay, Oatman first. Let's see if we have everybody back on air. Hello, can you hear me, Otis?
Yep, you sound good.
Okay,
sound
great.
Good.
Now let's get John on the line. John, can you hear me? How am I sounding? Am I okay?
You're good now, Dave.
Okay, great. And finally, Andy. Andy, how am I sounding at this point?
You sound good.
Okay.
We gotta just tread lightly.
All right, very well. We'll tread lightly. So my question, going back to JT Barrett, I just wanted to ask, we ran out of time for that, I guess, so let's just go to the picks. I was going to ask if JT Barrett is a legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate, and I think the way he's played lately, he would be. We are not on video at this moment. We got to just make sure that the audio is sound before we can try video.
Who cares about video?
Nah, it's not important. This is an audio program first. It's a radio show first, yeah. You know. Okay, so let's get to the picks. Again, three guys went 4-0 last week. One went 2-2. Ron in New Jersey was the one who went 2-2, so we'll take his picks first. I shouldn't take his picks first. He went 2-2. We'll go to Oatman first, who went 4-0. So a chance to get into the lead, Oatman. You had the lead at one point, but here's a chance to take it back. Let's get your two college picks, week number 11.
Yeah, we're just going to keep it real simple here. I don't have a lot to say about either one of these games, really, especially because my internet is faulty and I can't connect to what I wanted to look at. So the first game... We're gonna go to take a team on the road, kind of a big spread here for a road team, and coming off that game that I spoke about a little bit ago, that lost to Ohio State, which no one saw coming, and I'm gonna take Michigan State laying 13 in Maryland against Boomer's squad. Mr. Esiason. So we're gonna take Michigan State laying 13. Just a
bit of a revenge scenario after that tough loss to Ohio State. Not much else. That was a team we expected to be in the top five before last week. Maybe that was just a I'm hoping that was just a one-out rough scenario running into Ohio State there. And now I'm going to take Michigan State minus 13 for my first pick there. For my second pick, also a team on the road, not as big a spread in this scenario. And we're going to take one of our good friends, Mr. Sports Pope's teams here. I'm going to take Clemson minus 3.5 at Georgia Tech. I like this Clemson team. I don't like much of what Georgia Tech brings offensively. I don't like their style at all. So that's basically all I got to say for that game there. And I'm going to take Clemson minus 3.5 on the road at Georgia Tech.
All right, so Michigan State minus 13, Clemson minus 3.5. Thanks for the picks, Oatman. Let's now go to Andy in Seattle for his two Week 11 college picks.
Big finger, Oatman. Why are you going to be a dick to Georgia Tech?
No, I'm just kidding. They've been fun for a couple weeks, but I will not touch that game on the program. Probably fall into that trap in La La Land hypothetical world, but... for game number one, we're going in a game of the week, basically, and it's tomorrow night, and it's at Cincinnati. We are going to be taking the Cincinnati Bearcats against the – I think they're playing East Carolina, and yes, they are. We're going to take Cincinnati getting 2.5 at home from the Pirates. This is just a high-profile matchup, and – listen, I'm taking Cincinnati based on one guy. His name is Munchie Legault. Munch. He's their quarterback. He was good for them last year. He got hurt, and then they got that former Notre Dame castaway garbage. He's not garbage. He's actually pretty good. Gunnar Kiel. But Gunnar Kiel is gimpy, and Tommy Tuberville's like, I am going to go with Munchman because the Munchman is 100% healthy. I'd rather go with a healthy Munch than a gimpy gun. So Munchie Legault is our guy. He's had a week and a half because they were off last week. And so he is reassimilated with that offense. And this is almost like a tale of two teams here because Cincinnati, all they've done for the past three or four games is cover. They were actually like, they couldn't cover a game to save their lives in the beginning of the year. And then they've covered three games in a row. In East Carolina, they haven't covered in their last four contests. So I'm just going with the, two teams kind of, two ships passing in the night. One's going up, one's going down. I think both teams will actually end up playing in bowl games. Because East Carolina still has a pretty good record. They score a lot of points, but their defense has a lot to be desired. You worry about Tuberville getting a little tight, but that's a bigger issue when they're actually giving points and they're not. Getting 2.5 at home, Thursday night game, give me Cincinnati getting 2.5 points. And game number two, I was thinking about taking Duke, but I will not go there. Maybe someone else will take that in the program. But I will go to the desert, Arizona, giving 9 to a Washington Husky team. With Arizona, they can score. Rich Rod has a really fun offense. He spreads it out. And they got that quarterback, Anu Solomon, who gonna be there a while because he's not like a pro quarterback. He's just not. He's just a system guy. But it'll be good for Rich Rod for a number of years. And Arizona's the one thing they do well is score a lot of points. Obviously, they didn't do it well 2 weeks ago in CCLA. I mean, I think they scored on their first drive and then did nothing for the rest of the game. But I think they'll be able to beat Washington by 9. Washington has not been competitive in a lot of the games that they've lost. They do really nothing remotely well this year. They still go to a bowl game because they had cupcakes in September. And, this is Peterson's first year, and He doesn't have a quarterback to fit his system. He also kicked off the best defensive player on their team. And if you watched any of that game against UCLA last week, they just didn't look good. It was not competitive. And the only reason they were competitive the week before against Arizona State is it was because it was a very windy game and Arizona State's passing game was severely neutralized. So Arizona will be able to score a lot of points against Washington, and I don't think Washington offensively will be able to keep up with Rich Rod's offense. So game number two, Arizona giving 9.
All right, and thank you very much for the pick, Sandy. Much ago, one of my personal favorite names in sports. That's a fun-sounding name. Glad to see him having another chance, so this will be fun to watch tomorrow. We will see. All right, so let's now go to John in Connecticut for his two college picks, week 11 of the football Kids Club picks.
All right, thanks, Dave. Andy actually took one of my picks. I was going to go Stinky plus 3. I saw the line. So we'll switch that up. We'll certainly play it hypothetically tomorrow. But we'll switch it up here. I was going to go with Duke as well, but I figured I can't go to the well too many times in a row. So we'll play that on our own in the hypothetical world, but we won't take it here for the program. So our first pick, very weird game here, a non-conference game this late in the season, but I'm going to take Temple getting 11 at Penn State, and this is really an anti-Penn State pick. Their offense has just been hideous over the last month. I mean, they can't score. They're averaging. I watched that game against Michigan, and they made Michigan look like the 85 Bears on defense. They couldn't do anything. Even the Ohio State game, they just struggle on offense. It's surprising. They had a pretty good quarterback with Hackenberg. 11 points is just way, way too many to get. If you look at the over-under for this game, it's, I have it right here, it's 39 points, and they're giving 11. So, I mean, what does that tell you? They think this game is going to be like 28 to 10 or something? I mean, I just don't see 10 points scoring 28 points. So I see this as like a 21 to 15, 14 type game either way. Temple's played pretty solid lately. They've had a decent season. They're probably going to go to a bowl, one of those many American Conference teams going to a bowl game. So we'll take a chance here against an offensive challenge Penn State team, and we'll go with Temple plus 11 after our first game. And for game two, we'll go to one of the SEC games, and I'm going to take Georgia minus 2.5 against Auburn. Auburn's defense is just hideous. We did this last year, and they somehow overcame it. This year, it's been their downfall. Texas A&M last week, I was absolutely shocked they lost Texas A&M, who has just been horrible the last month. And all of a sudden, they find their offense when they play Auburn. In the previous week, they got outgained and really outplayed by Louisiana Monroe. And you figure, they're going to walk into a hornet's nest at Auburn, and it just didn't happen. And, Gus Malzahn's deal with the devil kind of ran out, and I think it's going to run out this week because I don't see any way Auburn is stopping the Georgia offense. Todd Gurley's be back in this game. If you had Gurley, Chubb, all those guys, and they should just run over Auburn. Not to mention, this is a huge revenge factor this game. If you remember last year, Auburn beat Georgia on that kind of miracle Hail Mary throw and eventually, propelled them to the national title game. I don't think Georgia's forgotten that. They're a pretty strong team, Georgia. I mean, Mark Richt had his annual, WTF type of loss that he always seems to have. They get 10-2 every year. Those two losses are always head-scratching. But other than that, they're pretty solid. And especially at home, I think they're only laying 2.5. Just got one by a field goal, and I think they will. Pretty high scoring. I'm calling it 38-31. We'll go with Georgia minus 2.5 against Auburn. So Georgia minus 2.5 and Temple plus 11 as how it takes this week.
Thanks very much, John. And Georgia definitely is a team that has a full head of steam, despite that Florida game, which, again, as you mentioned, you just can't explain it. I mean, it really was as simple as them just giving up a huge amount of rushing yards, just the kind of thing you don't really expect. It just happens, and things like that happen. And the way Auburn, as you mentioned, Auburn's luck running out. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to note that Georgia is the favorite in this game. I think they should be with Gurley back and everything. It should be really interesting. But, that's the SEC is interesting. We'll keep an eye on it and see how it goes. Georgia at home in Athens for that one. And those are the two picks for John in Connecticut. So now to Ron's picks. Utah plus 7.5 at Stanford. Utah really had a good run at making, you know, at least winning the division in the Pac-12. It was really too bad they couldn't finish that game against Arizona State, because that really was for them the season, and it's too bad it didn't work out. So the second pick from Ron in New Jersey is Middle Tennessee State minus 5 at Florida International University. So,
oh my God.
I know. Wow. I don't really know these teams, so I will defer to anyone else who wants to break this down.
I don't think I could tell you what state those two teams play in.
Right up my alley, Dave.
Oh my. Yeah, so good luck to the picks. That's a remember when Glendale used to make picks like that, John, like on your show back in the day?
Yeah. Like I used to do, you know, like one of those obscure game of the week picks. I mean, I could give you one of those every once in a while, but I figured the listening audience would be bored if I was talking conference USA football every week. So keep it to me. But
absolutely. Good stuff.
That's a catch.
All right. So those are the college picks for this week, week 11. Let's go to the NFL. Now we have a pretty good slate of games, some marquee matchups this weekend in the NFL. So feel free to talk about any of these games if you like. The games that stood out to me, Bengals against the Saints. That's actually one of the lesser ones. You have Seahawks against the Chiefs. Andy, what game are you, if you don't mind me asking, what game are you following as we speak?
That's my reaction to the Cincinnati New Orleans game. They should play that game on the moon with the quarterbacks these days. I'm so down on Drew Brees, and as we saw Dalton last week, those teams are so flawed. Ugh.
It's been a rough watch. I can't argue with you there. And the Bengals, when are they going to show up in a primetime game? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Oh, no, I can't argue with you. Okay, and then the other games, just to quickly flesh this out, the Lions at the Cardinals. And, you know, the Cardinals lost Carson Palmer. And oh, man, you certainly are no stranger to him. He was having a pretty good year, and then he tore his ACL, and he's out, and I think you just got out at the right time with him in fantasy for fantasy purposes. But then with Stanton, could still be pretty good. But, man, that's really a tough break for Palmer, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much more on the subject, because when you say that I let him go, it was in a trade to John, who happens to be on the line as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, I think I'm losing sleep over the fact that I have to start Bruce Stanton for the next 6 weeks in fantasy football. And then after making a trade. No.
John, my apologies for that.
If you're looking for a running back, I'm sure you could trade for Denard Robinson this week while he's on a bye.
Oh, man. Did anybody receive a trade offer for Martellus Bennett? Oh, boy.
I don't have much of a comment on that, but I was looking at that game earlier today. It's a pretty good game. I mean, those two defenses have been two of the better defenses this year. You got Calvin Johnson back in the mix now. Golden Tate still going. So I mean, you losing Carson Palmer takes a little bit out of it, but they were able to keep it going. Andre Ellington's been one of the best backs in the league this year, so be good to see him up against that that defense there. And Stanton should throw to him a lot too, with that tough run defense for the Lions. But that's definitely one of the games I caught my eye. Another one was John's team this week, the Eagles against Packers with the Sanchez in the mix. That should definitely be another great game this week also.
Yeah, some great games all the way around. And then when you go into primetime, you're looking at the Patriots against the Colts. And the old and the new, like Tom Brady against Andrew Luck, that's going to be a lot of fun from Lucas Oil Stadium. Let's go to John in Connecticut for his look at the this week's NFL games. Any of that stand out to you?
Yeah, the Patriots-Colts game, I don't, you know, I could be wrong here, but that's the highest over-under I think I've ever seen in an NFL game. I think it's like 69, which, you know what, the way these primetime games have been going, I mean, if you had bet the favorite and the over in every single primetime game this year, you'd probably be up many units, but yeah, that should be a really interesting game. I'm sure a lot of the people in our FanDuel League will have people, players from that game. Should be a huge shootout. I guess I'll mention the Packers-Eagles game briefly. I'm really looking forward to that game on Sunday. And I see Eagles fans, one of our friends in Philly there, puffing their chests about the Eagles. Well, I'll just say I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to give you five turnovers like Cam Newton did on Monday night. And I think the Packers will eventually win, but it should be a pretty good game. Packers have struggled stopping the run this year. If there's any game that LeSean McCoy is going to get going, it's going to be in this one. But the Packers are really good against the pass, and I think Sanchez will struggle a little bit. And Rodgers will do his thing, and now the Packers will win, you know, 31-20, something like that. I won't make it one of the selections, but I feel pretty confident that they will win on Sunday. I also thought that there'd be some weather in the mix, really cold and possible snow, so that should add even more of a fun element to the game.
Boy, just a real excitement all the way around. I enjoy when there's elements in effect for these football games. I mean, that there was that one snowy Sunday when last year completely altered like all these games. It was incredible. I mean, the Eagles were playing against the Lions at Philadelphia, and it was a lot of fun just watching them trying to figure out where the Lions scrimmage was, things like that. That's a good time. So let's go to Andy in Seattle for his look at the Week 11 NFL matchups. Any games that you are interested in?
Yeah, I'm interested in a lot of them. It's hard to actually find the game. I think the way the teams are all matched up, it's really hard to find two games that you feel good about, because you got Pooh matched up with Pooh, like Washington, Tampa, and Houston, and Cleveland, and Pittsburgh and Tennessee. That's kind of nondescript, and the Giants and the Niners. Like, there's some hard games to find, but in terms of marquee and actual playoff implications and juice squeezing games, Seattle KC is a really good game, because both those teams are basically fighting for wild card positions, because, you know, Denver is probably going to win the West and the AFC, and KC is 6-3. They're actually amazing against the spread. They've won four in a row, although they were handed that game because the Buffalo head coach, he makes freaking peanut butter and jelly seem freaking exotic. That guy. Well, there's also Kyle Orton, too. Kyle Orton in the red zone is such a turd. I mean, he's got no touch. And Kyle Orton and the coach basically gave that game to Kansas City. But give Kansas City credit. All they do is just find ways to kind of scrape by, nibble here and there. But my goodness, Buffalo, I think, was up like 13-0 or 13-3 in that game. And they just basically were like eye on the prize without doing anything on offense. But in Seattle, just, they had a really good fourth quarter. They took advantage of that interception, and just whatever energy that they lacked defensively and offensively, it was basically the Marshawn Lynch show and Russell Wilson scrambling. And, they just had a really good fourth quarter, but they just haven't really looked very good this year. You know, thank their lucky star, they were able to take care of Denver and Green Bay in the beginning of the year, and they're 6-3. And it's, there's not a lot of spots open in the NFC for playoff position. And, the Pats and the Colts, I don't know if the Patriots will be able to contain Andrew Luck for four quarters. It'll be a hard game for them to win. They've played really well lately. They've turned that corner after that Kansas City debacle on Monday night. So I take it back. Kansas City doesn't just nibble. Every now and then they can score almost 50 points on teams from here and there. And then, you know, Detroit, Arizona, I'll talk about that later. You know, hopefully some people will be paying real close attention to Atlanta, Carolina. I'm sure there's a Carolina guy that thinks they have a chance. And Atlanta with Matt Ice, you know, NFC South is just that's hot poo. There's stale poo and hot poo. And right now, collectively, the NFC South is hot poo because it's the Saints are a hot poo team. One of those teams is going to the playoffs, and, you know, some people think Atlanta might have a shot. They are just it's just such a clown town division. I'll definitely be invested in that Atlanta-Carolina game some way, shape, or form.
Oh, my goodness. And I saw, I think it was one of you who posted that if Atlanta, like, were to win that game and some other teams lost, they would take the lead in the division. And that team is so bad, I can't even fathom such a thing. So we will see how that goes. Now let's go to the picks. We'll start with the Oatman, who, again, 4-0 last week, did pretty well, has been doing pretty well with pro picks, generally speaking, as far as I believe. So let's see what you have. Two picks, NFL Week 11, Oatman.
Yeah, before I throw the picks out, I just want to add that, I mean, we got the Packers' big game against the Eagles. John should have some fun watching. Andy's got the Patriots against the Colts, big-time game. Your Steelers against Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
big Monday night game.
Yep.
And the Jets aren't playing, so I can relax and not have to watch that garbage team play. So it'll be a great weekend for us all. And with that, I'll move on to my picks. Last week we did very well. I think it must have been the case. I think Vegas probably got killed last week. A lot of big favorites won and covered. So for my first game here, kind of an unusual pick here, especially for someone who has the quarterback on the other side of things here. I'm going to take the St. Louis Rams at home getting 10 against the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. St. Louis is one of those teams, and I know going into making this pick, they're one of those teams that they're either going to play Denver really close and possibly upset them, or they're going to lose by 40. So I guess that's the risk we take. Denver, St. Louis has a good defense. I'm going to bank on that a little bit here, maybe get some pressure on Manning the same sort of way the Jets were able to. And then it's not fun when you turn it over to that St. Louis Rams offense. I know they're making a quarterback change, going back to whatever his name is.
Sean Hill?
Who the hell are they
going
back
Hill?
To? Sean Hill. Yeah, that's the one. After their previous quarterback was compared to Kurt Warner not too long ago. I guess those things kind of fell by the wayside. So we'll look for Sean Hill to kind of keep things close here. Maybe Trey Mason can keep proving that he's a back. But just basing this more on St. Louis Rams defense, maybe someone can slow down Peyton a little bit. Big spread at home. St. Louis dangerous at home. I'm going to take the Rams getting 10 against the Broncos. For my second pick, and I think I'm going to whisper this because I don't want too many people to hear it. I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers -4.5 in New York against the New York Football Giants. And if you remember, John, a couple weeks ago, told you how there was a kids' club text going around, and we decided that we can't bet against the Giants anymore because they continue to tear our best part. And then that very same week, John picked against the Giants. And I'm going to do it this week because the way that they tried to cover Russell Wilson was a complete joke. They had no interest in tackling Marshawn Lynch. Despite what certain posters may think, they completely gave up. No one wanted to go anywhere near Lynch.
some might say it was a gamble going anywhere near Lynch, but they definitely gave up there in that spot. San Francisco's got a good running game if they pound the ball, which I believe they will, and I don't think the Giants will be able to keep up with Hyde either if they switch it up, go away from Frank Gore. Kaepernick, same sort of style as Russell Wilson. Hopefully he throws the ball a little bit better than Wilson did last week. Niners get a big player back from suspension with Paul Smith. So I'm going to take San Francisco -4.5 in New York against the Giants. And I know that the Giants are going to find some way to screw me, but so what? They should not win. They should not cover this spread. So those are my two picks for this week.
All right. Good luck to your two picks. And once again, the spite pick makes its appearance. I love it. This will be a fun to see whether that pans out for the Oatman. 49ers -4.5 and Rams +10. Really big on the NFC West this week, so we will see. Okay, Andy in Seattle, you are up. Two picks, NFL Week 11.
All right. Game number one, we are going to stick with the hot hand. I don't think I've ever not – the last time I bet against Green Bay was the Super Bowl against the Steelers. Only, and I don't know why, but I just remember being at the party and being like, why would you ever bet against the Packers? Because I figured the rapist, the Steelers, would nibble a little bit, but they didn't. And that was my lesson learned way back then. Do not bet against Aaron Rodgers. You can lose with Aaron Rodgers, as you do from time to time. Green Bay doesn't cover every week. Sometimes it feels like they do, but they don't. But, you know, the way he's been playing, the way he throws the ball, the way he's got all those receivers, it's just hard to bet against Aaron Rodgers. So just don't, unless you're like a Bear fan or a Viking fan or a Lions fan. Why would you bet against Aaron Rodgers? So I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. They're at home. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, home game, Fox, big game. Given 6 to the Eagles. And, you know, they're not going to play the Bears every week and score 55, but they put on a great show. And this is also an anti-Eagle defense. Sometimes you can be anti-Eagle defense when they're up against a prolific offense. And I just took a look at their scores, and they have they give up a lot of points here and there. The record's great, but they gave up, you know, 28 points to the Rams of all teams, gave up 34 points to the Redskins of all teams. And the only time they actually had a good defensive game was against the fucking Giants. So other than the goose egg that they had against the Giants team, they're scoring over 20 points. So, I mean, if you're mediocre, you should be able to score points against the Eagle defense. And this is not like I hate the Eagles, because there'll be times where I'm going to be loading up on the Eagles, but the Eagles-Packers, just try not to overthink. I'm going to take the Packers game number one, hopefully not much John's team. Game number two, I will take Arizona. I think the line's either 2 or 2.5. My computer's a little gym right now, so I can't see it. Whatever. I don't care if it's 2.5 or 2. Let's say it's 2.5. I'll take them. This is a, Stanton. It's not like Carson Palmer was the reason why the Arizona Cardinals were 8-1. They got good defense, good running game. Receivers are decent. Oh, you can't even name the players. I don't care. I don't watch a lot of Arizona Cardinals football, but I know they're good. And they fly under the radar. And the Lions, Stafford will win you some games. Stafford also lose you some games. Case in point, last week, he basically pulled the game out of his ass against the Dolphins. But there, you could, in another alternative universe, he loses that because he's thrown a pick. He just loves to chuck. No respect for possession. And I think that could come back to haunt him, especially on the road against an aggressive defense like Arizona. And I think based on this is also just, you know, there's no facts to back this up, but it's like once Carson Palmer, I heard, like, oh, there goes the Cardinals season. Then, you know, Joe Posey, there goes their season. They're done.
Well, maybe they will at some point, but I think let them get one game with Stanton in the mix and see what happens. I mean, it's 2.5. They're playing the Lions. It's not like the Lions are like world beaters or any stretch of the imagination. It's still Stafford on the road. He could have a 3-turnover game. He also, he doesn't just throw interceptions. He also carries it like a loaf of bread too, and he fumbles. So I think he'll be a little turnover prone this weekend, and I think Stanton will just kind of nibble here and there and, win 24-13, something like that. So that's game number 2.
Good deal. We're gonna give you 2 for that, because I saw the consensus was 2. So that works in your favor because they're giving the 2. So we'll give you Cardinals -2 for week number 11. All right. So now to John in Connecticut for his two NFL week 11 picks.
All right. Thanks, Dave. We'll start off with. Very interesting game here between the Chiefs and the Seahawks, and this can be dicey, but I want to take the Chiefs -1 at home. Andy kind of mentioned the struggles of the Seahawks lately, letting the Raiders hang around, almost winning that game. I don't even know if I want to count the Giants as a real win. They just completely quit last week. Otherwise, the real wins and fake wins. But yeah, they struggled ever since that Percy Harvin trade. I just don't think the team is right. They just don't have the same kind of mojo about them this season. They're going up against the Kansas City team. They've been very strong lately. I saw an amazing stat that they have not allowed a rushing touchdown this season, and that will certainly be put to the test against Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson. But I think they'll be up to the challenge, and they're very good at home. They're essentially a pick'em game. I thought that it could be a big, again, weather in the mix here, and I just like this KC team right now, and it should be a close game. You'll probably be biting my nails by the end of this one, but the Chiefs just have found ways to win games, and I think they'll do it here. So KC -1 after the first pick. And our second game, Andy, I'm going to go to that poo fest between the Saints and the Bengals, and this is how I get my better judgment, but I'm going to take the Saints and the Ass Clown -7.5, and I hate that half. Up to a half today. It was -7 yesterday. It's late at that, but alas, we can't pick and choose here. So the Saints lose one home game, okay. They are not going to lose 2 home games in a row, especially for Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton and the Bengals, who, through a nice start to the season, have just completely gone into the tank. I don't think I've seen a team play worse than they did last Thursday against the Browns. Well, I know they're probably going to do much better on offense in this game, for sure the Saints' defense is good, but I just don't see Sean Payton and Drew Brees losing 2 in a row at home. I think they'll blow them out here. 38-21, something like that. The Cincinnati defense has not been very good. Mark Ingram should have a pretty big game. So we'll go with the Saints to rebound and get a big win at home and keep pace, I guess, in that
90 seconds.
So we'll go Saints -7.5 and Chiefs -1 for the NFL picks.
All right, great. Good luck to your picks, John, and that goes for all of you. Good luck. Just really quickly, one update on Oatman's pick of the 49ers. We're actually going to bring it down to -4 because it is checker on a checker with Ron. He picks 49ers -4 at the Giants, Browns -3 versus the Texans, and those are your picks, Kids Club, week 11. So, fellas, thanks very much.
60 seconds.
Thanks very much for the picks. Good luck to you all. We're running low on time. I just want to say thanks for good luck again. May it be fruitful for you. And that's it for me. Have a good one, everybody. Take care of yourselves.
Good luck, everyone.
All right, fellas.
All
right, fellas. Thanks so much. All right, that's it for our show. Sorry to cut this up so abruptly. Good luck, everyone. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to Junkman in Hour 1. I'm Dave Medina. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.